Well, knowing who you are is an important thing. Oftentimes, those who have been adopted will seek out their birth parents later in life because they want to know where they came from. And if someone asked you sometime this week, who are you? Oftentimes, we respond in two ways. First, we say our name. My name's Andy Brown, and I came from these parents and this family. And so we oftentimes will answer who you are by telling people who we are related to. Or we will oftentimes say what we do, relationships that we're in. I'm a husband, I'm a father, or I'm an elder, or a businessman, housewife. And those are appropriate ways to answer that question. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at someone that we have seen already in the Gospel of John, and his name is John the Baptist, or as Pastor Ryan says, John the Baptizer. And we will be looking at how he answers that question, who are you, and how that relates to us. So if you can find your way to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, page 886 in the Bible that we provide, I wanted us to review what we've already heard about John the Baptist so far in the Gospel of John, and then we'll look at the passage that we'll look at this morning together. So if you look at John chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, we've already heard this, that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And then if you look down to verse 15, we've also read that John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me." And so the passage now that we'll be looking at this morning together begins in verse 19. And it says, "And this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' And he said, 'No.' So they said to him, 'Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' And he said, 'I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said.' Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, 'Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' And John answered them, 'I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the stripe of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie.' These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing." So our passage this morning begins with the statement that this is a testimony or a witness of John about giving us more details or information about who he is. And we find out that the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem. Now, it's interesting that this phrase, the Jews, will be used or seen in the Gospel of John over 70 times. And this is the first time we see this phrase being used. And at times it can have a neutral meaning, but oftentimes it relates to the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, and oftentimes it's referring to them in opposition to Jesus. But it's the Jews or the religious leaders that send the priests and the Levites. And if we want to remind ourselves, the priests are those that are active in the Jewish temple. They are the ones that are doing the sacrifices and the ceremonies. And the Levites are their assistants or their aides. And so those are the guys that are sent out from Jerusalem to look out or seek out John the Baptist. And they ask the simple question, "Who are you?" They've been hearing stories about this character that has been doing things out in the wilderness, and they don't know who this guy is. And they've been hearing these things and they want to find out who he is. And so if you look at verse 20, John answers and says, he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. It's quite significant that he denies in triplicate that he's not the Christ or the Messiah or the Anointed One. It's the person that the Jews have been looking forward to for years to be their Redeemer, their Savior. And John here, in triplicate, and again, he confesses three times, and this is not going to be the last time that someone three times denies something in the Gospel of John, but here we see John the Baptist three times denying that he's not the Christ or the Messiah. He wants to make it very clear that no one makes that mistake. I'm not the Christ. I'm going to say it three times, and he makes a confession that he's not the Christ. Then in verse 21, they ask him, what then? Are you Elijah? Now, why would they ask that? Most likely, John the Baptist appears to look like the prophet Isaiah. He dresses like him. He has the same kind of diet that Elijah did. If you remember back in the Old Testament, Elijah's the prophet who prayed and it didn't rain for over 3 years. Elijah's the prophet who had a showdown on Mount Carmel with a bunch of prophets of Baal. And his sacrifice was consumed with fire. And he ended up killing all these prophets. Elijah's the prophet who never died, that was taken up into heaven in a chariot of fire. And if you look back in the last book in the Old Testament, and I think it's on the insert on the back side of the notes, the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, there's a prophecy in verse 4, verse 5, that says, "Remember, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." And so the Jewish people, when Malachi was written about 400 years before John the Baptist, they have been looking and waiting for Elijah to reappear before the Lord comes. And so they're kind of wondering, could this be Elijah that came back from being taken up into heaven? And now he's here before the Lord. And John the Baptist, going back to our passage this morning, when he's asked, are you Elijah? He says, I am not. He does not want to make that connection that he's Elijah. Now, it's interesting if we look to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 14, Jesus, after this, later on in the ministry of Jesus and John the Baptist, Jesus recognizes John as Elijah. But here, in response to these Jewish leaders, John the Baptist does not make that a connection. He wants to, in fact, we'll see, he wants to make very little of himself, of his importance. And so he says here, I'm not Elijah. Now, he might have come in the spirit of Elijah. We're not sure if he even knew if he was Elijah, but at least at this point, he's not making that connection. John the Baptist is not. So then they ask, are you the prophet? Now, it's interesting. It just says the prophet. And the Jewish people knew who the prophet was. And that takes us all the way back to Moses. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 to 18, Moses, near the end of his life, tells the Jewish people that there's going to be coming someday a prophet that will be like Moses that you need to listen to because he will speak God's words. And so Moses lived over 1,400 years B.C. before John the Baptist. So over 1,400 years, the Jewish people have been looking for the prophet. And they ask John the Baptist, are you that prophet? And I love his answer. No. notice that his answers have gotten shorter. He wants to make it very clear. Three times he says, I'm not Christ, I'm not the Messiah, I'm not Elijah, and then when it gets down to the prophet, he just says no. Now, who is the prophet? Well, if we look in the book of Acts, Peter and Stephen both point to Jesus as a fulfillment of the prophecy from Deuteronomy 18. So it's clear that Jesus is the prophet. And so again, John the Baptist is wanting us to be very clear that he's not Christ, the Messiah, he's not Elijah, and he's not this prophet who is really Jesus. And that's always a good thing. You know, oftentimes we will answer in a negative way who we are. Well, I'm not from this political party. I'm anti this, I'm anti that. So we tell people in a negative way what I'm not. But it's always helpful to tell people in a positive way, well, then who are you? And it's interesting. Our culture oftentimes tells us to look within. Look within to find yourself. Seek your identity from within. And it's interesting in our passage, John the Baptist does not look inward to find out who he is or to tell people who he is. He looks somewhere else. He looks elsewhere. So let's look at how John the Baptist answers that question. It's interesting at the end of verse 22, the people, the priests and the Levites, they say, we need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And so in verse 23, John the Baptist says, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. I'm a voice. I'm a message. I'm just simply communicating a truth. John, again, even in his positive way of answering who he is, he humbles himself. He's speaking from an attitude of humility. I'm just a voice. Notice also, we have to remember the context in the Gospel of John. John begins with, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John, even in his answer of who he is, wants to distance himself from Jesus and say, Jesus is the Word. He's the Logos. Remember last Sunday we read that the Word, the Logos, became flesh and dwelt among us. And in John's answer to the question, who are you? He says, I'm a voice. He doesn't say, I'm a word from God. I'm just a voice. I'm not compared to the Word that we've been hearing about. But it's a message. It's a verbal communication. That's who John is, a message. And he's a voice crying out. When I think of the crying out aspect, I think that there's a sense of urgency in his message, a pleading, of crying, of calling people to hear what he has to say. It's done out in the open, in a public way. And it's done in the wilderness. And oftentimes, if we think about the wilderness, it's a place where there's not a lot of distractions. It's quiet. But he responds by saying, I am a voice of one crying out in the wilderness. And what does he say? Make straight the way of the Lord. The idea of making straight means to prepare a path. It's like those people that have gone before us in the national parks and built those bridges and widened the path so that we could have a smoother way of traveling through those hiking trails. It means clearing away obstacles. This quote from Isaiah 40, verse 3, is found in all four of the Gospels. So Isaiah wrote this over 700 years ago, and John the Baptist is saying, that's who I identify with. That's who I am. I'm the fulfillment of that prophecy over 700 years ago. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And notice that John's, even in his answering in a positive way of who he is, he draws attention away from himself because he's pointing to the Lord, to Jesus, to the Christ. His identity is in relationship with Jesus. It's not about himself. It's about who he is related to, who he belongs to. He's pointing people to Jesus. And you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, that's where our identity comes from. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ because we have repented of our sins. We've acknowledged that we've sinned against God, and we've turned from that. We've repented from our sins, and we believed or had faith or trusted in who Jesus is. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that he died on the cross to take our punishment that we deserved upon himself. And by faith or trust or believing in him, God causes us to become children of God. We are united with Christ. The Holy Spirit, God himself, comes and dwells within us. That's who we are. We have a relationship with the living, eternal God through faith in Christ. And that's how John answers this question of, who are you? I'm just a voice. I'm just a messenger pointing people to Jesus. So our takeaway this morning is really simple. Our identity is in Jesus. And we point people to him, not ourselves. And that's what our text tells us. But then in verse 24, it continues and says, now they had been sent from the Pharisees. So we get a little more information here on the Jews, the religious leaders, and there's a part of the Jewish leadership called the Pharisees, and they wanted to dig a little deeper. They were concerned about John's baptizing. And why would that be a big deal? Because in the Jewish religion, baptism was something that was done quite often. If a person that was not a Jew wanted to become Jewish or a Jew, they would go through a baptism, a cleansing ceremony to become a Jew, a proselyte. Well, the problem that the religious leaders had with John the Baptist was he was not baptizing Gentiles. He was baptizing Jews, people who were already a part of the covenant of God, the people of God. And by them repenting of their sins, they were basically saying, I, even though I was born into the Jewish people group, I still see myself separated from God's promises and covenant because of my sin. And that was shocking. The religious leaders, that was not what they had expected to see. And so they asked this question in verse 25. They asked him, then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet? Why are you doing this ministry? And John answered them, I baptize with water. And again, even in John's response here to their question, it's really humbling. He has a very submissive attitude. I just baptize with water, implying that there's going to be one who's coming later who will baptize with something greater than water. But I just baptize with water. That's what John says. And he's not putting down his ministry. There's validity to what John is doing. He's just saying it's not the end of the goal of the whole process. There's something more. We see that by the next word, but. But always gives us a understanding that there's a contrast. I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. See, the purpose of John's ministry, even his ministry of crying out in the wilderness, pointing people to Jesus, is to have them know Jesus. Jesus is what it's all about. It's not about baptizing, even though that's important, and John was known for that. He wanted the people to know Jesus. And think about our ministries, whether it's with children, adults, seniors, in our workplace, in our schools, wherever we are, our ministries there are important. What we're doing is important to do, and that helps define who you are. But it's not about those ministries, it's about Jesus, pointing people to Him, having them know who Jesus is. And so when we have opportunities to share the gospel with others in our workplace, in our school, with family members, neighbors, in ministries here at the church, we want to point people to Jesus, not to ourselves. It's not about us. It never is. It's all about Jesus. And so our message this morning is our identity is in Jesus, and we point people to Him, not ourselves. Our identity is in Jesus, as believers in Jesus Christ. That's who we are. We're children of God. We're born again. We're ambassadors, mouthpieces, instruments in God's hands to point people to Him. Not to our ministries, not to ourselves. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. And so, John continues and says in verse 27, "Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." Again, John has an attitude of humility and submission as he ministers for the Lord. And he's basically saying, I'm so much lesser and Jesus is so much greater. I'm not worthy to do what the lowest of slaves would do in that culture at that time of untying someone's sandals. I'm not even worthy of doing that because Jesus is so much greater. It's reminiscent of what we saw in verse 15 earlier when he said, John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me." See, Jesus is has such a greater rank, value than John the Baptist. He's the one that we are to glorify, to worship, to point people to. And again, it doesn't mean that our ministries are not important, but they're a means to an end, and that end is to have people know Jesus. You know, we at Green Pond Bible Chapel say this all the time, that the goal of our ministries here, that why we exist, is to glorify God by making and maturing disciples of Jesus Christ. We don't want the glory. We don't want our ministries to have the glory. We want God to be glorified as we introduce people, point people to Jesus, be a voice, share the message of the gospel, and help them grow and mature in their faith. That's what we're all about. And I pray that that would be something that we will see evidently, clearly, abundantly this new year. Well, our passage ends with verse 28, where it says, "These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing." And I think that was just like a stake driven in the ground right at the end of this passage, grounding this in a historical fact. The people at that time could go to this area of the Jordan and see the ministry of John the Baptist. This really happened. This is historical fact. We don't have to doubt or question God's word. These things really happened. And so as we look forward to this new year, may we remember the identities that we have as believers. It's our union with Christ. It's being adopted into His family. We are His children, and our ministries are all to point people to Jesus, just as John the Baptist did so many years ago. Let's pray together, shall we? God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that if we have repented of our sins and believed in Christ, we have our identity in You. And yes, Lord, we have our identity in our families and the things that we do, but our ultimate real identity is as believers in Christ. And may we be reminded of that this morning, and may that encourage us as we face difficulties this year, even as we face things that will go well, help us, Lord, to continually always point people to Jesus. And we pray it in his name. Amen.